Am I on the air?
You are on the air, Red Usher.
Okay. I'm sort of the only challenge of Parsha Truma is the challenge of staying awake. Okay. I'm not going to deal with that challenge today because I think we're bored. I'm going to do it later on today. In terms of the concepts, it seems very straightforward. Right? You don't have any mysteries, you don't have any difficult psukim, you don't have any challenging, complicated situations you have to interpret. It's very, very clear. Hashem appears to Am Yisrael at Har Sinai. Hashem gives the Aseret Dibrot. Am Yisrael is saying the Aseret Nishma. Hashem then gives the Sefer HaBrit, which is Parsha Mishpatim probably. And then after that, Hashem decides to tell Am Yisrael about the mitzvah of the Mishkan. On the surface, there's very, very little that's complicated. And we should spend most of our time doing all the calculations to figure out exactly how they built the Mishkan. However, on second thought, there's a lot going on here. And there's a lot that we have to do a lot of thinking about. Let's begin. Let's begin with philosophy. Okay? What is complex or challenging philosophically about having a Mishkan?
You only have one Mishkan, one place. That's the house of God. What about all the other places?
Okay, so having the Mishkan implies that you can get closer to God in some places rather than others. What's probably happening with
that? Every place is, like, who said that one place is holier than another place?
Right, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Memalei Kol Amin. Kadosh Baruch Hu is, he fills the entire world, the entire universe. Right? How could it be that one place is more appropriate for connecting God than another place? Yeah.
God is something intangible, completely spiritual, no physicality whatsoever, and the Mishkan is. Mikora is something that Hashem just told us not to do. It looks like an idol.
Okay, you're mentioning two different problems. They're both very important. Number one, if God is infinite and certainly non-physical, then what the heck are we doing building a house for God, right? It seems to be completely ridiculous, right? You need a doghouse for a dog. Right, you need a people house for people, right? Because they're finite, they need shelter, they're contained within the house, right? A God house, right, is ridiculous. Okay? Okay, good. Number two, you pointed out that it seems very similar, uncomfortably similar, to Avodah Zarah. As a matter of fact, at the end of Parshas Yisro, right? Right after the Aseret HaDibros, what does God go out of the way to say?
Don't make golden images.
Don't make golden images! And then, Parsha Truma comes along, God says, just make the Kruvim, use lots of gold and silver. Doesn't make much sense, yeah.
Yeah, like, just to add to that also, like, on top of the Aron, yeah. We have two angels made out of gold.
Yeah.
And I was looking with Ramo at the article, I thought it was a Christian thing, like, when it looks like Mary, like, what they have, like, is, like, statues of two people, two angels.
Yeah.
And Mom just looks like a dessert.
Okay. It's a problem. Who's got these problems?
Probably everyone.
Alright, who's the first person to think it's wrong?
Roger.
Moshe.
He lost his mind.
Hashem. Moshe.
Rama.
Joseph. Rama is the second one.
Yeah, just make sure you can copy these. Oh, I copied these on the day when I copied these, and that worked so well. So, make sure that everyone has a copy with the house of God.
That's
page 3.
So should I hold on to
it now? Yeah, hold on to it. Anyone else need? Everyone else got?
No.
Three.
You guys share, please. Think. Oh, we have any more? Let's see. Sorry. Nope. Please share. Okay.
Well, sure.
Great. Okay, if you look at Dibrei Yamim, Shlomo HaMelech builds the base of Mikdash after years of yearning on the part of his father, David HaMelech, years of planning, years of binyan, incredible amounts of wealth and endeavor go into it. And what does Shlomo HaMelech say? Veta Hashem Elokei Yisrael Ye'amen Dvarcha Asher Dibart Alav Dacha LeDavid. And now, Hashem, okay, Israel, please fulfill the word that you promised my father, David. Ki ha'unam yeshev Elohim et ha'adam al ha'aretz. Could it be that God will dwell with man on the land? Hinei shemayim, mishmei shemayim, lo yichal kalucha. The heavens and the heavens of the heavens can't contain you. Ach ki ha'bayit hazeh Hashem. Can the house that I just built contain you? That's the basic expression of the bewilderment that even the builder of the Beis HaMikdash, right, who must have felt strongly that what he was doing was important, it was worthwhile, he himself, Shlomo, can't understand how in the world could this be important, useful at all. If a finite house can't contain the infinite God. Ever think about that? Ever bother you?
Yeah.
Alright, so you're good company. Okay. So now I wanna show you that this question of whether or not it makes sense to have a Mishkan is really a central question in understanding what's happening in our culture. Okay? There are a few other problems. Okay, let's focus on it before we even get to the portion. What else is mysterious about Parshas Truma? How about this? Someone tell me, when was Parshas Truma commanded?
Before the Eagles of Athens.
Okay, so it's a very famous machloket. To Rashi and Ramban. Ramban says,
no order, there is an order.
That exactly as it appears in the Torah is exactly the order that the mitzvahs were commanded. Right? Yesh mukhdan mukhar b'Torah. There's a chronological order of the Torah. If the Torah tells us that God commanded the Mishkan right after Parshas Mishpatim, well, when did he command the Mishkan? Right then. Rashi, however, he says, Ein mukdam mukhar b'Torah. There's no chronological order. The fact that it appears in a certain order does not have anything to do with the way it actually historically occurred. And as a matter of fact, when was the mitzvah of Mishkan commanded? After the Egel HaZahav. Okay? Was the Egel HaZahav occurred on what date in the Jewish calendar? Shiva Asar b'Tammuz. Right? And when was the forgiveness completely nailed in? Yom Kippurim, right? So we have a number of months between Shiva Asar b'Tammuz and Yom Kippurim. When was the mitzvah of the Mishkan given?
Pesach.
On Yom Kippurim. Okay? In other words, after Yom Kippurim, and only after the process of forgiveness, that's when God gave a mitzvah of building a Mishkan. What question should this raise for us?
He's asking to do the same thing, yeah.
Huh?
Because they just did the Eagles of Ha'av and got R for it.
Okay, so number one, what's the relationship between the Mishkan and the Eagles of Ha'av? In other words, there seems to be some relation between the Mishkan and idolatry, just the very form of it, right? Why in the world did Hashem command us to do something that He just punished us for? Right? It's a little bit problematic. Number two, what should bother us about Rashi?
He says that the Torah has no order to it.
Yeah, God didn't have a secretary? God couldn't, like, you know, have a binder where He puts each page in the right place, you know, so you don't, or a, you know, some sort of software that'll organize things properly, right? Y2K came around 9 years ago, so everyone was panicking about everything getting out of order. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu was the master software engineer, right? He couldn't deal with these issues. So why in the world would the Torah be written out of order if Hashem certainly could have written in chronological order if he wanted to? Okay, that's
a mistake at the publisher's office.
That's a big question you have to ask yourself. And finally, was the mitzvah of Parshas Truma ever fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael?
No.
100%. For a very, very long period of time, the Jews didn't have a base of Mikdash, they had a Mishkan, right? In Shiloh, right? Throughout the whole time, until Shlomo built the first base of Mikdash, right? They didn't have a Mikdash, they had a Mishkan, and the Mishkan moved around places. So if the mitzvah is to have a Mishkan, why did they end up building a Mikdash? Why did they end up deciding, okay, you know, we actually don't need a Mishkan anymore, we can just build a base of Mikdash?
Was it more permanent?
But the Torah here is commanding a Mishkan, not a Mikdash. Mm. What's the relationship between the Mishkan and the Mikdash? Okay, do you have a question to answer?
I have a question and two answers.
All right, so you know what, we're going to hold off. Let's hold off for a few minutes.
Can I just do a question?
No, let's hold on. We have a lot to do. We'll get to questions a little bit later on. I just want to quickly go through the basic sources of Rashi, just to hear what Rashi says. Then we'll try to understand his opinion. We'll try to understand the Rabban's opinion, and then we're going to see a third opinion is going to knock you out of your seat. It's good that you're standing up, because everyone else will be on the floor. Okay. Okay, Rashi says the following. You guys have a source number three. Ein mukdam u'muchar b'Torah. Right? Says it straight out. There's no chronological order of the Torah. Maseh ha'egel kodem b'tzivui b'lechem yishkan yamim rabim hayim. Right? The episode of Egel Zahav happened many, many days before the commandment of building the Mishkan. Shareh b'yudzayim b'tamuz nishperu al-luchot. Was in the 17th of Tammuz that the luchot were smashed. Yod Purim, the Kodesh Baruch Hu Yisrael, ulamacharat yichilu b'nidbat nishkan. Yukam ba'alaf b'nisa. Right? The 17th of Tammuz is when the luchot were smashed. It wasn't until Yom Kippurim that the commandment of the Mishkan came about. Right? So he's very, very clear. What's happening in the Torah is not in order. We got to think about this. Why would this be? So Rashi's source, Rashi generally does not make things up on his own. He's usually choosing Midrashim, right, to base himself on. So let's look at the source number four, the Midrash and Chumash.
Who wrote this?
This is Chazal. This is the sources are in the same time period of the Gemara. Drop down about halfway down until where the first one line is Uvo. Got it? Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Midrash basically says everything that Rashi said up until now. Now he's going to try to explain why would it make sense to command the building of Mishkan? Ubo b'yo amar lo kadosh baruch hu, v'asu li mikdash v'shachati b'tocha. Build me a mikdash and I will dwell amongst them. Kidei shiedu kol hamumot shinikaper lahem maaseh ha'eyad. That what?
That all nations should know that they are supposed to be given for the
Okay, imagine a boyfriend and girlfriend in high school get into a big fight, right? And in the middle of the fight, the girlfriend takes off her boyfriend's class ring and throws it at him, right? You know, after hundreds of dollars of bouquets of roses and whatever, right? She proudly appears in school the next day wearing his class ring again. Right? What does everyone know by looking at the class ring?
They're back together.
Right? Asumi dash v'shachati v'tocha. What's the purpose of the Mishkan?
The Jews and God back together?
It's an outer sign. It's an outer sign to the rest of the world to show that Am Yisrael
they were the middle of the desert
and Hashem are together again.
What is the middle of the desert?
Ulachen. So hang on. L'chein yikra mishkan ha'edut. That's why it's called Mishkan of testimony. What's the testimony to? Shehu edut v'kol ba'ei olam shekadosh baruch hu shochein b'mikdashchem. That it's testimony to the entire world that Hashem dwells amongst us. So far, are you satisfied by this explanation?
No.
What's disturbing about it?
Because He forgave us by giving us something that might lead us to even more sin.
Okay, so number one, it seems to be encouraging us in our very flaws.
Right? It's like a girlfriend giving, it's like a girlfriend giving a boyfriend like the gift of like, I go out with fun guys made out at some inappropriate place as
okay.
a sign that.
Okay, interesting. Right. Yeah.
We don't even make the Mishkan for Kavanos.
Okay, right. If that was the case, then Hashem should have made this big floating billboard in the sky saying, I love Am Yisrael, right? And have them like floating above Am Yisrael where they go. What do you need this whole Avodas HaKorbanos going on inside to, a huge chunk of the Torah is focused on what we do inside the Mishkan? It's just an outer sign. What in the world is that supposed to do for us? So the Midrash continues. Let's read a little bit further. Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Yavo Zahav Shel Mishkan, V'Yichaper Al Zahav Shenasebo Hayeichon. The gold of the Mishkan should come along and be Michaper, atone for the gold of the Egel Zahav. What do you think of that?
But don't we have
constant? Mida connected mida. Okay, what exactly does that mean? How does it play out?
Measure for measure.
That's true.
Like we sin with. It's also like that and teshuva, because we say real teshuva is when you get put in the same place again and you make the right choice. So you take the bad sin that you did and you're trying to atone for it, you make it better.
Okay. So you're saying something very, very interesting right now. I want to spell it out for a second. Okay? On the surface, what you said sounded ridiculous. Right? Oh, you murdered someone, so your punishment is you never murder more people. Right? That is insane. But then you said something very important. You said that sometimes the way a person attains tshuva is by being in the exact same situation, but instead of veering in the wrong direction, veering in the correct direction. What you're saying is that worshiping God with physicality can very easily go wrong, but could be brought in the right direction. Okay, and the Mishkan is the opportunity to take the possibility of physical service to God and move it in the right direction. That's a very interesting idea. We'll hopefully come back to that. Let's hold on to that for right now. Yeah.
I was going to say the exact opposite.
Okay. Crash the Titans. Go ahead. What do you say?
We have a concept in Judaism that the Elazar specifically, whatever, like we don't mention cows. We don't want to like say anything.
Right. Yom Kippur. We don't wear gold jewelry.
Right.
So we don't remind God of the, we don't, so, right.
All the more so in the house of God. You don't want gold.
Okay, interesting.
So what's the answer?
I'm asking.
Okay, very good question. Okay. Bottom line, that's Rashi's approach. Now let me ask you a question. According to Rashi, if we hadn't sinned,
would we have gotten the Mishkan?
Would we have gotten the Mishkan?
No.
No.
No. It's B'diavad.
You don't think so?
I think you do.
Okay, let's hear some elaboration of the ideas. Let's start with you. Why do you think we would have?
It's whether it's been not, it still would have been an opportunity for the Am to get close to Hashem to atone for further for future sins, potentially. And for we don't have Korban today. But imagine
how much higher level we give it to. Well, what Rashi is saying is that this is a response to the Egel HaZahav, that it's specifically the gold of the Egel HaZahav has to be counterbalanced with the gold of the Mishkan. But it sounds like it's like very b'diavad. In other words, God told us, don't make it like HaZahav. We messed up, we did that. So Hashem says, all right, fine, this time, using your approach, right, use the gold for good as opposed to for bad. But like, what? You're on a high spiritual level. Why do you need this at all?
So that potentially you could find maybe not now if you want to sin, but
maybe later on you will. Just because it wasn't sparked by this initial sin, who knows what's going to happen.
Alright, so you're saying that basically Am Yisrael's bound to mess up.
We're human.
Right, we're human, we have a desire for physical worship, right? We know that basically every other religious world,
we've seen it
aside from Islam, every other religion in the world has physical things that you bound down to.
We've also seen that before, in Egypt and in previous times, the people of the Islam, when they were
saying Jews. Okay, so you're saying it was just a matter of when, right? Or is it we're bound to mess up? The question is when.
What you're saying,
as a matter of fact, is exactly what the Rebbe Bachaya says. We have this out. Those of you who have already have a page, so you can use the page. I thought I had more copies of this. Do I? Oh, man. Okay, so wait.
Do we have more copies of this?
Yes, I do. Okay. Alright, pass it down, please. Oh, now I find more on the front page. Oh well. Okay. I'll do it all today.
I'm sorry.
See, I need a secretary. Right? God doesn't need a secretary. I need a secretary. Okay. Everyone have a page?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Rebbeinu Bachaya, you know who he was? Rebbeinu Bachaya.
Kabbalah.
No. But in Spain, he was a next generation follower of the school of Ramban. He was a Mekubal, but he also... Golden Age of Spain. I don't recall exactly which what was going on in Spain at the time. He says as follows. He's bothered by the question he asked before. If Rashi's correct, the Torah is out of order here. That's very nice, but why would the Torah be written out of order?
Right, like every time Rashi has it, he has to give a reason.
He has to give a reason, exactly. He has to explain why was the Torah assembled the way it was. And that's not the chronological order. You follow? Okay, so Rebbeinu Bachaya says something very, very interesting. We're Sitchin pointed this out to me. And I feel very indebted to him for this. So like this. If you drop down to where, you see where the number 78 is?
Yeah.
Okay, so at the end of that line. Yeah, Mikol Makom. HaTorah, Shekol Derecha Derechei Noam, וכל נתיבותיה השלום רצתה להקדים עניין מעשה המשכן שהוא הכפרה קודם שיזכיר העוון ההוא. Torah, whose ways are pleasantness, ways of peace, wanted to mention the kapara before it mentioned the sin.
Don't worry, you're going to be forgiven.
כי כן מידתו של הקדוש ברוך הוא שמקדים רפואה. This is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu operates. He always creates the medicine before he creates the disease. Right? In other words, imagine a world where instead of desperately trying to find a cure for different diseases, alright, yeah, Hashem waits until after we develop the vaccine.
Like
and then it'll give diseases in the world. Right? Kinyan Shigar Shur Betenu Zal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Borei Rufuah Yisrael Tchila. Right? So bottom line, according to Rebbeinu Bachaya, why is the Torah presented the way it is? In an out of order way?
God wanted to reproach him for the sickness, so to speak.
Okay, now I want to understand this.
He didn't want to scare
him. Did God know before the Cheder Eagle that it was going to be a Mishkan?
Obviously.
Yes.
God knows everything before, after, during.
Okay. So what's complicated about this is that on the one hand, the only reason, so to speak, that we have a Mishkan is because we messed up. Nevertheless, the mitzvah, or the concept of the Mishkan, existed before we messed up.
Right. Why is that so difficult? We're talking about God.
Exactly. So the question, when we ask the question, ideally would we have had a Mishkan or not, the question doesn't really have a clear answer, because given the world that Hashem created, the world where we mess up and we sin, Hashem planned on there being a Mishkan.
Whether it had been this a sin or another sin.
No, I disagree.
According to Rob,
Mishkan would have been created just because it wasn't created for this sin that they just did, it could have been for a different sin.
So you're saying is the following. You're saying that when I go to the drugstore and I buy Tylenol, right? I will sometimes buy Tylenol even before I have a headache. Because I want the Tylenol to be on hand. When I have a headache, I should be able to break it out. Right? So in other words, you're saying that, and it's not that I want a headache. It's not that I want to have a reason to take Tylenol. Right? But I do want to make sure that I have that first aid kit ready
in case
when it happens. Right? So it becomes a much more complicated question. You know, was the Mishkan planned in advance or not? The answer is yes, only if disaster happens. Right? Yeah.
According to Rashi, it happened, the Mishkan came after the Tzchid.
Yeah.
God's only writing it here because he wants us to know that's how he works.
Right.
So, who says, I don't understand what the question is. I don't understand what this whole discussion is about. Meaning, God bought the Tylenol, this is what happened, this is it. God bought the Tylenol after he has a headache.
I thought it was the highest issue.
Yes, it is.
That's right.
But he's telling us that, oh, I bought Tylenol because I have a headache.
He bought Tylenol before. He just gave. He gave the Tylenol.
He precedes the healing before the plague, before the disease.
Right.
It's not like Tylenol. It's like taking a.
I'm saying, but according to Rashi, chronological order: first this happened, then.
So I'll put it to you like this. It could be, according to Rashi, Moshe received the commandment of building the Mishkan after the Egel Zahav, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu had that commandment waiting there on the docks, waiting to be handed over to Moshe the moment that the sin occurred. Well,
that's obvious. It's God.
Huh?
It's God, though. That's an obvious point.
Well, it's also Bechira Chofshit. In other words,
but even though
it's a master in a world where Am Yisrael goes so, for example, right, when the entire world becomes so corrupted that Hashem decides to destroy the world, right? You're going to say that Hashem created the world already with the intent to destroy it?
Yeah.
You could claim that, but that would take a lot of twisting and turning to claim.
He didn't have intent, but he had intent that if they would sin, which he knew they would sin, then he would have
to destroy it. Pashup Pshat, where the Pashup Pshat is, but Maynachem Hashem, Hashem read it. Right, it sounds like a shot.
But that doesn't make any sense. You can't say God, right?
Okay, it's a very, very...
He was ready to bring the Bible if in case they do decide to sin. He created the possibility of...
It could be. I'm saying that either way you go, it becomes very complicated at one. Okay, there's a lot more to do, so let's move on. I want to drop Rashi for a second. We'll come back to him and do the Rambam. Okay? Look at the front page, please. On the top right. This is the Rambam's Hakdamah. I have one more copy of the front page. Anyone want this? Anyone need it? Front page? Okay, yeah, great. Okay, this is Rabbi Tadzaba to Parshas Truma. Kasher diber Hashem im Yisrael panim bepanim aser tanidrot v'tziva otam al yidei Moshe k'tzat yisrael shem k'mo avot b'mitzvotel shal Torah. Kasher in Higu Rabotenu im Hagerim Shebaim Etiyahe, when Hashem spoke face to face to Am Yisrael and Matan Torah, exactly the way. So, by the way, this one Rambam can spend 5 hours on. I'm going to have to skip a lot of major points. The same way that rabbis tell a potential ger of a few mitzvahs before they convert, and a convert doesn't have to know what they call Torah Kula before they convert, they can just know. They can just know a couple of mitzvot. So Am Yisrael just received a few mitzvot. They just received 10 out of 613 before they converted. V'Yisrael kiblu aleihem. Fourth line. Lasot et kol ma shitzavum al yado shel Moshe. Am Yisrael accepted upon themselves that they'll keep all the mitzvot that Moshe commands them. The karet imahem brit al kol zeh. And Hashem established a covenant with them. Me'ata. From this point on, Hineyem lo la'am v'hu lahem le'elohim. Right? Am Yisrael and Hashem are lovers. Kasher hitna imahem mitchila. Ve'ata im shemoa tishmu b'koli v'shmartem et priti v'yitim v'yisrila. V'amar atem tiyu v'amlech ha'kohanim v'goy kadosh, etc. All these ideas of Am Yisrael being a nation dedicated to God and vice versa. V'hineyem kidoshim ru'uyim Shiyeh b'hem mikdash lashrot shchinato b'neihem. that at that point, when Am Yisrael entered the covenant with God, they became kedoshim, they became worthy of God dwelling amongst them. Lachen, sivat chila al dvar ha-mishkan shiyeh lo bayit betochan nekudash lishmo v'shan yidaber im Moshe mitaveh b'nei Yisrael. According to Rabban, why does the mitzvah of the Mishkan immediately follow Matan Torah? It's the most natural process in the world, right? What happens after a wedding? You go to the yichud room, right?
Exact
or you go, to your own house and you begin living together, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu, the moment that they seal this covenant between each other, saying we're totally committed. So what do? You concretize it. You begin living together, right? This is the day that Hashem moved in with Am Yisrael. This is the day, kibyachol, that Hashem brought his toothbrush and left in Am Yisrael's bathroom. Right? That's what we're talking about. Right? Am Yisrael sealed the covenant with Hashem. This is when Hashem begins to live with Am Yisrael.
And it's still bringing the idea of Hashem being part of the physical world.
Okay, so that's a complicated idea that we'll get to in a minute.
Is there anywhere in the parsha between now and the Egel Zav where Hashem says don't do Avodah Zarah?
Between now and the Egel Zav? I mean, you already said it at the Avodah Zarah.
Right, but no, because last week we said that Hashem gave us Moshe, like he said that we need Moshe as like an intermediate, but then after that he said, but watch out, don't go too far, don't do Avodah Zarah. That's why he's added again at the end, don't have any. So I was saying it would be interesting if he said it again now, that he's giving us the mission, like, watch out, don't take it too far to do Avodah Zarah.
Okay. All right, we're way behind schedule.
I know.
Major desire for the Mishkan is for there to be a place for God's presence to dwell among the Israel. Shua Aron, Moshe Amar Benoati Lachasham, V'Dibarti Itchar Me'al HaKaporet. The main focal point of the Mishkan is the Kaporet on top of the Aron. That is where Hashem's presence dwells. Skip down now. So the first word is Haraui. Haraui. First word. So in the middle of that line, Besod Hamishkan, Hu Shiyeh Hakavod, Asher Shachan Al Har Sinai, Shochein Alav Binistar. This is a crucial idea. According to the Rambam, the goal of the Mishkan is that the exact same manifestation of God that happened at Har Sinai would be made permanent within Mishkan. Let's play the game. He's now going to point out parallels in the Pesukim that describe Matan Torah to the Pesukim that describe the construction of Mishkan. Ukemosh ne'amar sham v'yishkan kvod Hashem al har Sinai. Right? That when Hashem began Matan Torah, v'yishkan kvod Hashem al har Sinai, uchtiv and Haranu Hashem Eloheinu, and Kodo and Kodo. Am Yisrael said, we now see God's Kavod, His greatness. Ken Ketuv Mishkan Kvod Hashem Milei Et HaMishkan. The exact same language is used to describe God's appearance at Har Sinai and God's appearance in the Mishkan. Yizkir Mishkan Shnei Pamim Kvod Hashem, once again, Kvod Hashem Milei Et HaMishkan, Keneged Et kvodo begodlo. V'haya b'mishkan tamid Am Yisrael, I'm sorry, in Yisrael ha-kavod sh'nir'el lahem b'har Sinai. That through the Mishkan, the presence of God, the glory of God that was revealed at Har Sinai would always be with Am Yisrael. U'bevo Moshe haya ilav adihur asher nidaber lo b'har Sinai. And when Moshe would go to the Or Moed, the center of the Mishkan, God would speak to him exactly as God spoke to him at the top of Har Sinai. Ukemosh amar matan Torah min hashamayim ishmiachat kolo v'yazreka v'la aretz herechad isho agdola kach mishkanti v'ishmat hakol midaber ilav me'al kaporet Ben Shem Kruvim by the Berimah. Right, exactly. It's the kind of description of God speaking to Moshe. And he goes on and he points out many, many more parallels. According to Rabban, what's the point of the Mishkan?
It's an exact after fact of getting the Torah.
Exact after the receiving the Torah. Exactly. In other words, according to Rabban, from the moment of Matan Torah until the Chorban Bayit Rishon, there was never a day in the history of Am Yisrael that lacked the experience of Matan Torah. With some gaps here and there. There was the point is that the experience of Matan Torah was not meant to be a momentary experience that would then be lost. It was meant to be a momentary experience that would then be formalized and concretized forever through the Mishkan. According to Rabban, it was the Mishkan lechatchila or b'diavad?
100%
lechatchila. In other words, that this was, you know, I'll give you an example. When you go to a wedding, right? And you have the, under the chuppah, you have many people. Who you have under the chuppah, you have the family. Who else?
Rabbi.
Who else?
Photographer.
Right? Why the photographer there? Because there's this desire. When you have an intense experience, there's a desire to preserve the experience and make it last. Photography is not entirely effective, but it helps. It helps. Right? The vision of the Mishkan, this is going to keep the experience of panino panim, the experience of communing with God, of having God dwell amongst us, and Matan Torah, that's going to last forever with the experience of the Mishkan. And when the Jews travel through the desert, how did they travel?
Where was the Mishkan?
In the middle. Where was Am Yisrael?
Around.
Now let me point out something very, very interesting. At Matan Torah, where did Am Yisrael camp?
Around the mountain.
Okay, so it's not clear. You're quoting Rashi right now. Okay? In other words, Rashi emphasizes Neged Ahar, according to Rashi, means that they were facing which direction? They were Mimizrach Ahar, they were on the east side of the mountain, facing west. According to Pasha Pshat, it's not clear, but it could be. There's a mention many times of Vayagbel Ha'avat Ahar, the nation should surround and create this border around the mountain. There's a decent basis to claim that Am Yisrael camped around the mountain. Could it be that according to Rabban, right, the Jews constantly dwelt around the Mishkan exactly as they dwelt around Har Sinai? Make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now Rashi would not say that. Rashi would point out that while they camped around the Mishkan at Har Sinai, they were Negadahar, they were facing west,
but
they were on the east side of the Mishkan. Now, where in Jewish history we see Am Yisrael facing west? Where would that be?
Facing east.
That's the Kotel on the western wall.
From the east, if you're doubling.
Huh?
If you're doubling.
Above.
Very, very simple. In the base of Mikdash,
you
always faced west. You entered from the east. The Kodesh Kodesh was the most western point. Could it be the machlokas between Rashi and Ramban is not was there going to be a Mishkan at all, or was there going to be a Mikdash at all?
Right?
But what was the ideal? Could it be that for the Ramban, the ideal really was a Mishkan? But there was no possibility of even one day going by after Matan Torah without a preservation experience with the Mishkan. The moment Matan Torah is over, they begin getting the tzivui of building the Mishkan immediately, because the goal is to take the experience and bring it down and concretize it. However, for Rashi, think about it practically. How long did they spend building the Mishkan?
Long time.
Began building it the day after Yom Kippur, and it was actually inducted when? Pesach. Okay? So a long time, 6 months. How long was it supposed to take Am Yisrael to go from Har Sinai to Eretz Yisrael?
40 days.
Less than 40 days.
3 days.
Was it? It was. Less than 2 weeks. Less than 2 weeks journey internationally, right? So you're gonna spend 6 months building a Mishnah that you only read for 12 weeks. So from Rashi's perspective, okay, we have Matan Torah. Now we're gonna go straight to Eretz Yisrael, and the first thing we do in Eretz Yisrael is we're gonna build Mikdash Hashem. Okay, fine, for 2 weeks we're not gonna have a base of Mikdash. Right? Then the head of Elul occurs and everything changes. Right? We can't leave Har Sinai. Not because we can't leave without the Mishkan, but because we can't leave without a sign that we pertain to Kapara. Right? According to Rabban, this is my book. It was worth it to spend 6 months building a Mishkan that we would only need for a less than 2 week journey. It was that crucial that we not leave the experience of Har Sinai until we're ready to take it with us.
So we'd only build 2 weeks worth of it and then build a bit of Mikdash?
No. We'd build for 6 months and then take the trip to Eretz Yisrael.
So they must have a completely conflicting view on the Chedayel. Like Rambam must think that it's such a worse chet than Rashi.
Who does?
Rambam, because if the ideal of the Mishkan was to make the experience at Sinai concrete, and they had the Mishkan, then what's the, like, how did they go from having physical manifestation, your experience at Sinai, to Chedayel?
That's a very good question. You're saying that it's
like
much
doing
more
it
like,
at our Sinai.
Yeah. I have an idea of that. Okay. I'll tell you about it. ask me another thing. I'll tell you about it. Yeah.
I'm a robot. Where was Moshe all that? Did he go back?
Where?
He got Mishpat, but Moshe got Mishpat.
Yeah.
And he got this. And then he was back on the mountain.
He was back on the mountain. I think so.
At the loopholes.
But that doesn't make sense. Like, he already got the loopholes, though.
And he broke them.
No, he didn't.
No.
Because everything's in order.
I don't remember if this is happening at the very... It might be the very tail end of the Mishpatim. I'll look it up. I'm not sure. I have to run right now. We did not get to the Fog of your share part. This is Sordo. All the Sordo. Oh, I haven't had down yet. These Sordos.
Wait, can you just put
it on the back? It's on the back of the machine.
Can we make a reschedule?
It's not going to be tonight, because I'm going to have to go to sleep early.
In a break?
What?
In a break?
I have to make it to sleep then.
Okay.
But take it. If you can't learn this before Shabbat, so find you later on and I'll go with you. It's very, very Kedai. The Sforno has a completely different approach to all these issues.
Which one's 6 and 7? Or?
It's all the Svornos.
All those 5 also Svornos?
Yeah.
Which one? Mine's cut off. You know,